Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, and it's time once again for our monthly ethics session, Difficult Decisions in Healthcare. I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. Good morning, Dr. Eastwood.
Good morning, Tricia. Glad to be back.
Yes, good to have you back. We have quite a topic for this month. Will you tell us what it is?
Well, we're going to explore relationships with the drug industry, the pharmaceutical industry. We actually talked about that about a little less than a year ago, but a lot has happened. Maybe not of substance, but there's a lot of movement in this area, and we thought it'd be a good time to review some of these things.
Yes, actually, a lot is being talked about, and I think some of it has been brought up by healthcare reform, which we don't know where that's going, if anywhere now, but the thing is, I want to make sure that our listeners have an understanding of why we need to be concerned with this, because I think for most people's points of view, they're sick, they have symptoms, they go to the doctor says, I think you have X, here's a prescription, go fill it, and come back to see me if you're having a problem in 10 days. So that's what they do.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah, it usually works.
So what's the problem?
Well, usually there's no problem, but often there is, and the problem comes in different forms. One is the drug the right drug in terms of the person's illness, or has it been written because of some bias that the physician has? The physician may be a consultant for a drug company, or may have just been to a conference that was sponsored by a drug company, may have just been visited by a drug company representative, on and on and on. Also, is it the least expensive drug that will do the same job? I realize there's some concerns that maybe some drugs are different than others, even though this comparing generic versus proprietary drugs. But generally, generic drugs do just the same job as their counterparts.
Let's talk about that part of it for just a minute, because if I want to buy a car, I have my choice. I can buy a Chevy, or I can buy a Lexus, or I can buy a Hummer. I have my choice. I can get lots of different ones. So why does it really matter if it's not the least expensive?
Well, in some ways, the pharmaceutical industry and the car industry are similar. They're both legal, thank goodness, and they're both making money.
And they're both owned by stockholders.
Stockholders, and we want them both to succeed.
Yes, we do.
When we buy a car, presumably we have some choice in when we do that. If we don't have the money right now, we can wait a little bit. Or if we don't like exactly what we see, we can wait a little bit. Or we can buy an expensive one or a cheap one.
And we've also test driven it.
That's right.
We've also might have gone online and learned more about it. Or maybe we've read consumer reports and we know what potential problems exist or don't exist. We've been able to do some study about that particular car that we decide to purchase.
That's right. So I think you can see where we're going, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're sick, we want to get well as soon as we can. We don't usually have a lot of time to think about or to wait for the drugs. We take the advice of our doctor, who is the expert.
Well,
and that's a big difference.
And that's the truth. And the doctor is the expert. The doctor has the education. The doctor has the experience. And we trust the doctor to tell us the right thing to do. And if you're sick and you need something to relieve your symptoms right now, you don't have time to spend a lot of, and certainly you can't test drive different drugs. So it is a different kind of thing, isn't it?
That's right. And later in the show, we will talk about what we can say and do with respect to our physician. And of course, I would say right now, it's always a good idea if we have the time to learn more about drugs and the medical condition that we have.
So I expect many of our listeners are sitting here thinking, well, okay, what does it matter if the doctor prescribes a drug and it works for me and I get rid of my symptoms or it controls whatever my problem is? What is the problem? And the real problem here is the one word, money. And the many ways that money influences how those decisions are being made.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair statement. Now, there are other things that go along with money, prestige. Sometimes the doctor has been treated to lunch. Sometimes the doctor has been treated to a nice visit to San Diego or some other place.
And who's providing all of those nice things for them?
Well, in the first instance, it's the drug company. But in the ultimate instance, it actually is the cost of drugs.
It is the cost of drugs. And let's talk about some of these influences. And you alluded to them as we got started this morning. So the doctor has now written a prescription for X, and it's a name brand drug, and it's provided by one of the large, or maybe not so large, pharmaceutical companies. And those are names everybody's heard.
Right.
Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Merck. There are lots of them.
Some of my best friends.
It's some of your best friends. That's right. And let's make sure that we understand that it's good that those companies are there, and it's good that they're developing these drugs.
Yeah, we want them to succeed. So what we're talking about is a balance here. In my own scientific career, I had associations with researchers who work for various drug companies, and the collaborations that occur between researchers in academia or medical schools and researchers in the various drug companies are good collaborations generally. And we want those to occur. And other kinds of collaborations, educational collaborations, we want those to happen. But we don't want those relationships to affect prescribing habits.
No, because the prescribing habits really need to be based on what's wrong with the patient and what is going to best serve the patient.
That's correct.
But I think we also want to make the point that that these companies are most interested in a profit. And, you know, they're even more interested in the profit than they are in developing the good drugs. The reason they develop the good drugs is for the profit. But by law, they must be motivated toward profit because they are stock-selling companies. They're investor-owned companies. And the law tells them that that's what they have to be interested in first.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to respond to that the way you want me to respond. I think what you say is true, but it sounds a little venal to me, and to some extent it might be. But certainly the profit motive is something we respect and encourage in the United States. And the problem always is when the profit motive comes up again, conflicts with some other value that we have.
Yes.
And the value we're talking about now is good patient care.
Right, exactly right. So let's talk about some of the ways that a physician could be influenced by a pharmaceutical company or even a medical device company.
Well, there are fairly explicit ways, and there are subtle ways. One explicit way is for the drug representative to visit a doctor's office, bring in lunch for the staff, which is always well received. Many staff look forward to that weekly visit. And by the way, talk to the doctor about the product. And drug representatives are trained pretty well in their product.
And that's their job. They are there mm-hmm. to sell the drugs for yeah. the company.
Now, one of the problems, and of course our governor, Governor David Patterson, a day or two ago, announced his proposal for a new law that would restrict this kind of activity. It would restrict these kinds of some of the relationships with industry. I think what Governor Patterson and others are concerned is that this may be undue influence. The kind of information, even though it is usually accurate, is not the whole information. It's not the whole truth.
Right.
And, of course, you can understand that because the drug reps want to sell their product, not the opposing competitor's.
Exactly.
Product.
You know, the drug reps have a lot of information. They have a lot of scientific information. They have a lot of information about the chemistry of a drug, the biology of how it affects the body. They really are full of good information, but that information is going to be biased toward the one drug they're trying to sell. Sure. So I have to ask the question, doesn't it make sense then to develop a group of people who understand, say, about an entire class of drugs?
Yeah, and I think that's happening. You've mentioned this before. It's happening in at least one other state.
Right.
Where drug representatives do not represent a particular company. They represent the class of drugs, and that's one way. Also, physicians do not have to rely on drug representatives for their medical education.
No.
I mean, that seems a little obvious. There are publications that are unbiased, and there are ways of attending conferences and whatnot to learn about drugs.
There are. But, you know, from the point of view of a physician, and now I'm going to argue the other side for a moment, I'm a busy, busy physician. I run a busy, busy practice. I have my choice between learning what I can from a drug rep who I know has good information in a matter of 5 minutes, who's also going to feed my entire staff and make them happy, or I can sit down with a journal and spend a couple of hours getting through the journal to get the same information. Mm-hmm. What am I going to choose? It's a tough decision.
It is a tough decision, but I think there are other – it doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a couple of hours to go to some of the sources that are available, particularly online, to learn about drugs.
But it does mean you have to take the initiative and know that information is going to be there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the things that are being done, too. You mentioned what Governor Patterson has proposed. And we should mention that one of the reasons Governor Patterson has proposed this is because of the cost of Medicaid.
He's
looking at it as a possible way of saying, you know what, we need to make sure that the lower cost drugs are the ones being prescribed because Medicaid is such a burden for our state. And I like to make the point, too, people who are not in the middle of healthcare all day long, that yes, when they look at a drug for themselves, they might say, you know what, I'd just as soon pay a little bit extra to get the brand name because that's what I'm comfortable with, just like they would buy that Lexus instead of they might buy a Chevy. But what they need to remember is that we're also looking at an entire population. So if they make their choice and then therefore their insurer is paying that extra, that insurer is paying it now for thousands of people. And we need to multiply that by the number of insurers. Mm-hmm. And so it really is a much bigger number than just that one prescription.
I agree with that. I think that if someone does make the conscious choice to pay more money themselves, that sort of lets them off the hook a little bit because they've taken the time to learn about the drug. But as you point out, it does affect the whole system, and we ultimately all end up paying a little bit more.
It does. So this is really a question that all of us need to be paying attention to. Even if we think it doesn't affect us, it really does.
That's right.
And you know what? We need to take a quick break for the news. When we come back, I want to talk more about some of the things that are taking place across the country. And then you have some news about what's taking place at Upstate as well.
That's right.
And we're going to give patients some tools for making sure that they're getting the best drug for them. So listeners, we'll be back in just a few moments. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR. Thank you.